What is up, birthday cakes? Corey Vincent here with a new episode of Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? And we have a very Aaron-centric show this week because it is the week of his birth, and we're going to celebrate the way Aaron would want to, and that's just by doing the show, bro-ing it up with some of our best friends. Steven Gutierrez is here. Jada is on the show. And we have a very special mystery guest joining us on the show. We all looked at each other and thought, who would Aaron want on the show more than anybody? And the mystery is over. It is Anthony Birch, the other half of the amazing comedy duo from Hey Ash, What You Playing? We talked to Ashley, you know, a few months ago, and now we have her brother, the man responsible for killing Roland in Borderlands 2. Well, he's responsible for a lot more than that. He actually wrote Borderlands 2. And we're going to get to all of that. We're going to be talking about writing in the video game industry. We're talking about more about equality and women's rights. And we're going to talk briefly about some new exciting opportunities for Anthony in the future with Rocket Jump and Hulu. So it's going to be an amazing show. I encourage you to share it with a friend because this week it's...
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the issue gets real. I don't get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
The birth is real, everybody. How's it going? My name is Corey Vincent. What's up, pizzas? For those of you waiting for me to say that. The show has began. And you're wondering, why did he say the birth is real? Well, you see, Aaron Carter has a birthday this week. And this is the Video Game Bang official Aaron Carter birthday super show. And here is none other than the man of the hour. If we were professional boxers, he would be Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
Aaron Carter.
Wow. I'm not a Muslim. So let's...
Wow. I thought you told me you dodged the draft as a young man.
No. I definitely didn't join the military. I mean, congratulations to all the ones that... served, I guess, or thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
Muhammad Ali's cool. I like him. What's up, everybody?
Aaron Carter, another year, 31, right?
31.
Wow.
31 flavors.
Wow, is that going to be your like catchphrase for
that's
the year?
That's a 31 flavor year, everybody. That's wow. Right.
All right.
First
Why would
month.
You give that to him?
Rocky Road, everybody.
Is it because it's Black History Month
yep.
And it's been rough?
I've been kind of mixed on Black History Month as of lately.
Really?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Morgan Freeman.
Is he like editing your life?
He does not like Black History Month.
No, he thinks it should be History Month.
He doesn't think it should be anything.
Is it like those people who are like with their fiancés and stuff where they're like, I don't just have to show my love to my wife on Valentine's Day because every day is Valentine's Day.
Well, no, because it's the idea of Black History Month, which we say the same... Like, famous black people are inventors and writers and, you know, civil rights activists. It's just American history.
History is being made every day, people.
But it literally, when you think about it, it literally just is American history. Yeah. All that stuff that we go over happened in America. We never talk about any African, intelligent people or whatever, you know, before slavery.
No.
We just talk about what happened in America. To black people.
Yeah.
So it's American history. We are a part of history. That makes it kind of seem like...
Like it needs to...
It was its outside... Like this happened in the ultimate universe
right.
of Earth.
We don't need to talk about Black History Month and all this depressing, you know...
It's not depressing. It's just...
Well, it makes...
No. A realization.
My white shame comes out.
And that's sad. And that's sad.
You deserve it.
Why is this the Aaron Birthday Super Show? Because he was born and we're going to be... There's going to be a couple little things.
Wasn't everybody born?
We have a special, a very
special. Corey was created somewhere.
I was created in a lab.
Good Lord.
We had a very special mystery guest that Aaron has only found out about minutes ago.
Minutes.
And
Muhammad Ali, everybody.
It's going to be awesome. Jada's here.
Shaking.
And
That's terrible.
Hello, Aaron.
Jada, wow. If we were boxers, she would be Layla Ali. Oh, and that is the birthday music, because I need to pump the segment because I time things and I'm screwing it up. But I compiled a list of the best Aaron moments.
Wow.
And put them in a little compilation where
it's
all
pretty small.
Gonna listen to it. Never mind the size.
There's
here it goes.
Many.
We're gonna start right now.
Let's get this straight first of all. Because this is radio and nobody can really see who I am. I'm not a Caucasian male. I am of the darker tone, black. So Primus kind of goes a little over my head. I have heard though of Queen of the Stone Age.
There's like 20 guys in the whole world that are just like exclusively PC gamers. And they all work at Dell. All of them work at Dell.
You know what? That's sad because I won and I don't even feel like I won.
I think you're the biggest loser.
I think you lost.
I think you handed me a loss today, Corey. And you knew that. Okay. That's awesome.
I was thinking while I'm playing, I'd have to hear my character go, "I'm freezing my balls off out here." just to get in, that'll be a cue saying I need to get into some warmth.
I honestly don't see myself doing this show without you.
Same with you, man. There's no way I would do the show without you. Well, I mean, I've done it twice without you. So, ladies, now you can dry yourselves because that was the sexiest 30 seconds you've ever had in your life, hearing my voice.
It was actually
say all those
a full
things.
Minute compilation, and that was the theme song to This Is Your Life.
Wow.
And I worked on it, and to be truthful, it was not hard to find those gems. Every episode I opened, it was I had to fight to cut things out to make that.
You should
minute.
Just win a whole episode. We need to just put out a whole episode of
Aaron Carter's greatest gems. Hits.
You know what? I declare now, not Black History Month anymore. Aaron History Month.
See, this is why I was tempted right. not to do a birthday show for Aaron Carter.
I am humble. I'm humble.
Humble like a fox. So moving on to the rest of the panel. Layla Ali, Jada is back on the show. Jada was a big pivotal in hooking up the special guest, if that gives you guys any hints. And
Muhammad Ali.
It's yep. not Muhammad.
Yep, he's my uncle.
Really? Uncle Muhammad?
Uncle Muhammad.
That's terrible.
Wouldn't it be Ali?
First name.
Uncle Ali?
His name's Cassius Clay.
His name's Cassius. His mom called him Clay?
Mom called him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
And then he would be, goddamn, Mike Tyson.
Wow.
Steven Gutierrez.
Ear biting.
I'm just biting ears. I don't know Mike Tyson.
Been raping
voice.
Blood.
Raping blood?
That's what he's eating. That's not what he said.
He owns a tiger.
They made a joke about
Do
that.
Do you own a tiger?
No.
Eating what children, up? all the stuff.
I'll eat your children.
And I'm your host, Mickey Rourke. I don't know.
He's not even a boxer.
I think he is a boxer.
Mickey Rourke was a boxer?
He boxes now, actually.
Wasn't he just like a celebrity boxer?
He fights fights. Yeah, basically he fights fake
So he's
fights.
Like the WWE of boxing?
Yeah, except he tries, like, I don't know if it's like the whole world is just lying to him, so he really thinks he's awesome.
That's terrible.
You have to watch it. It's pretty awesome.
Didn't he just fight somebody recently?
Yeah, in Russia. He says he'll only fight in Russia for some weird reason. And he fought some dude half his age. It was
crap. Hey. I guess, whatever.
So it's like UFC.
So any moment now, we will have our special guest joining us. And what do you know? He's on the loan. He's on the line right now. Our special mystery guest, just for Aaron's birthday, is Mr. Anthony Birch himself. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing well. I didn't know I was a mystery guest. I'm so sorry. I feel like that's got to be a disappointment. I assume it's like somebody like Tim Schafer or something.
No. We've had many, many spirited conversations about your works in the past. And we've had your sister on the show. Ashley was on, and she was like the best guest.
That's unfortunate.
We had she was the best guest we've ever had. Like, she was awesome. She was hilarious. And then it kind of spawned a conversation because Aaron Carter here, the birthday boy, was a huge fan of Borderlands.
Let's not use past tense. Was
he
I
is.
Am
he is but in
I thought maybe you were a ghost.
He was he loves Borderlands 2. It's one of his favorite games of all time, and his favorite character was
Let's not get crazy.
Roland.
And, really? Oh, okay.
You sound surprised. Why would you be surprised by that?
Oh, no, in Borderlands. Okay, from Borderlands 1, you know, that makes sense. I thought about it more.
Yes.
I was going to say, the way he wrote in Borderlands 2 is boring in Borderlands, so I went, no, I realize it's because you played as him in Borderlands 1 probably, right?
You're correct.
Yeah.
He had a connection with this character. They had, you know...
That's why we killed him. Because statistics...
Because you had a connection.
We had data. We had data suggesting that Roland was the most frequently played of the four Vault Hunters.
Is that true?
So we had the largest... Yeah, we had the largest percentage chance of making you feel a thing if you played the first game if we killed that guy.
This is new information.
The plot thickens.
Yes, this is definitely new information. I thought this was just a gut call that you made at the last second or something.
Oh, no, believe it or not, we put a modicum of thought into things. Not a whole lot, but like a little.
Well, we Ashley kind of told us that you contacted her. You guys were talking, and you said, "Oh crap! I have to kill the black character." Like you were gonna.
No, I felt real bad about that. It's the last third of the game is like all this goodwill's been built up, and then how do you end the game? You mercy kill a teenage girl who was basically a victim of abuse. You kill the black character, and then you imprison the strong female.
So were you a part of a team?
Of writers? For Borderlands 2?
Yes, of writers.
Not really. It was basically like, so I didn't write 100% of the game. I wrote like 95% of it. Like half of the Scooter and Tannis dialogue is Mikey Newman, who wrote like the DLC for the first game and parts of the first game. Half of the Psycho dialogue is Rayson Varner, who's actually the voice of one of the Psychos. He's just really good at doing like understanding the way those characters talk. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the puns and stuff in the text are from Randy Varnell or Keith Schuler, who are designers. But yeah, it was mainly everything else. Literally every other word in the entire game is me.
Basically, on the show here, Aaron and I have a love-hate relationship. We like to get at each other and stuff. And as my way of making amends, I wanted to put this whole thing to bed. So Aaron, you've had a lot of pent-up frustration about this Roland death. We've talked about it for, we've literally probably talked about it for hours.
I've got all information kind of
secondhand.
Wait,
did you bring me on here so we could yell at me? Oh, no.
No. I
defend yourself, Anthony.
Justify your decisions.
I've been a fan of your work for a long time. You know, hey, Ash, what you playing? And even your rants that I just sit and watch.
Oh, dear. Thank you.
Yeah. And I was like, this is an intelligent guy. He's written a good story, in my opinion, up to the part where it just kind of seemed like it fell apart. And I was just like, okay, let's shoot the black guy and let's not bring him back at all.
But the story's memorable for you.
But yeah, see, this that was a little bit of information that I didn't have prior. This is now firsthand where he's like, we had data, and it makes it seem like...
Well, it was a mixture of that and also, like, you want to, like... Going into the third act, make the player or make the protagonist or whatever the hell feel like they've sort of lost all the things that were close to them, and you'd spent chronologically the most time with Roland. He was the leader of the Crimson Raiders that you're working for. Like, he was the guy who had the plan, who knew what was going on. So we felt it would be the biggest shock and change to your circumstances to have the guy that sort of the man with the plan, so to speak, die, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, we got a guy who likes to punch people, a fucking drunk. And we've got kidnapped. What do we do? We don't know what to do now. And like, just to make you feel kind of really hopeless in that moment, so that when you fight back from that position, you feel that much better. Like you really climbed a mountain to avenge your friends and shoot Jack in the face a bunch of times.
And maybe it's because I probably, as playing through the game, I didn't really see him kind of as a leader role, even though he kind of, all the characters from the previous Borderlands to me kind of seemed more like backdrop characters, as opposed to they're really into the story. They kind of just seem like quest givers, as opposed to like, this is my team. I work under these guys and I'm going out doing, missions for them. I kind of feel like you're just giving me a chore. I'm going out and shooting stuff.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly functionally that is exactly what we are.
Oh, wow. Son of a bitch. I really didn't mean to do this plan? Time.
Wow.
No. That is the What You Playing theme song. Let's just do it real quick. Let's stay true to the spirit of the game. This is America's favorite pastime on the podcast, where we talk about what we've been playing for the week. Anthony, with your schedule and all the changes going on, do you have time to play video games these days?
I do.
What are you playing?
Played Evolve. That was okay. I'm getting into CSGO, weirdly. I'm trying to get really MLG NoScope 420 blaze it at that.
Are people yelling at you?
Sorry?
Are people yelling at you in CSGO?
No, because I only play with my friends.
Okay. My first experience, I got yelled at by random people. Stop buying a pistol. it's like, well, I like it.
Those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sunless Sea. I'm playing Sunless Sea. That's pretty good.
You just kind of glazed over Evolve. What are your thoughts? Details.
I usually am really, really good at medic in games. I love playing the medic, and I'm just bad at medic in this game. So I got shouted at really angrily by somebody, and then I went, I don't need this in my life right now, and just uninstalled it because I was just scared of getting yelled at more.
Was it randoms?
Yeah, it was randos.
And do they know who you are? It's like your name, like, hey.
Nobody knows who I am.
And no. So do you ever feel
the only guy who ever knew who I was in a online game, he went, you're Anthony for who you do to Borderlands? And I went, yeah. And he went, thanks for ruining Borderlands. I hope you get AIDS. And I went, okay.
Whoa!
But yeah. Then I turned was his it around name? And said that he'd been infected with Borderlands fever and that it was terminal and that his family was going to catch it too and that Borderlands fever is undeniable. And he had
exactly,
it.
Exactly how you answered
was
that.
Was his gamer tag at YDAC?
Terrible.
Not to my knowledge.
It wasn't Aaron here?
I'd never wish death upon a person. How dare you? Go for
death,
the pain.
Exactly. Wow. Interesting. Okay. Well, moving on. Steven, what you playing?
Oh, man. I played a little bit of Stranded Deep on the PC just before I got here. I got attacked by a shark for the first time. I usually kill them, yeah. But that shark thoroughly raped me because it was two of them. So I got gangbanged.
That's terrible.
It was pretty bad.
Now are you impregnated by sharks?
My arm is impregnated with teeth.
Oh,
forever? So I had to like bandage myself to stop bleeding.
Really?
Yeah. Right. It was pretty rough. But good game.
Good game. Data, what you playing?
Dying Light, mostly. You know, going around trying to kill Night Hunters. Other than that, it's been got back on the League of Legends train, so trying to, it's a new season, time to rank up again.
Trying to get that platinum?
Trying to get that plat. Maybe some diamond. You know, a little bit at a time.
And Aaron Carter.
The Escapist. Been playing that.
Did
the 8 hours, of course, on the first level, just to get, you know...
That's so
accustomed
bad.
To prison life.
Uh-huh.
And then when I actually beat the first level, I went on to the second level and got so used to just doing the daily tasks.
That you're ready to go to prison?
That I'm just doing the daily tasks. I don't even try to escape anymore. I'm like, I kind of like the living
prison
habits
simulator
here.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, I've held a job for a good 12 days, so I'm good. I'm going to try to go for that employee of the month.
Accomplished.
Yeah.
That is awful. Same here, Dying Light. I've been playing multiplayer, and that's where the fun is on that game. Like,
so
the game
difficult.
Gets exponentially more fun the more people you add, but it gets exponentially more easy, it feels like.
Yeah, the campaign, for sure.
Yeah, there's no, like, leveling of that, but whatever, it's still fun. But we got the guest here, we want to get back to it. Thank you for indulging us with what you're playing. I feel like I interrupted the mojo going on between you and Aaron, so...
Oh, it's fine. It's gone forever now. It's no big deal.
We're not fighting. Like, literally, he came in with the most perfect, like, bit of information that I did not have. Like I said, I was getting everything secondhand from everybody. Data, so it was like, if he was trying, if their goal was, we want to make you emote whenever we shoot this guy in the chest. Clearly, he's got a response out of Aaron Carter, so it
worked. Yeah, the only really... Well, I have like, general regrets about it that I still don't quite know how I would fix, but I know, like, I...
No, I know how to fix a couple.
Obviously, would love to kill somebody else. But the biggest regret I have is that it happens in a cutscene because I was literally watching a stream of the game like 2 days after it came out, and the entire rest of the game, for the most part, except for the title cards, is just like cool things happen in front of you. Blah, like you know, Sanctuary takes off and it's in front of you, and it just sort of happens in real time. And I watched this dude who was streaming who like lost his shit when Sanctuary took off and lost his shit when, you know, Lilith appeared and all the shit. The second the cutscene started, it was just showing Roland's knees, like as it was panning up his face. And the guy went, "Black guy's gonna die." And I went, "God damn it." And then it happened. He went, "Yep." Because fucking cutscene just tells you something important is gonna happen. So it just ruined the entire goddamn moment.
The spontaneity of it.
Yeah.
So I hear that you have picked up new writing now, right? You're writing for somebody else?
Yeah, I'm moving to LA, and I'm going to be head writer on a series for Rocket Jump that's going to be on.
Oh, you're coming to the West Coast. Oh.
I am, yeah.
And that's with Freddie Wong, of course. We've gotten to interview him on the show. He's an extremely fascinating dude, a really busy guy. Is this the first time you'll be officially working with him?
No, he and I worked together on a video for, I guess, Nintendo that was promoting Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, where Hey Ash, What You Playin', the show I have with my sister, crossed over with Freddie, and I think it's called Gorilla Wayfair. But yeah, we've worked together before, and he's a really nice guy. He's a boy wonder.
So is this the type of writing that you set out to do in the beginning, like instead of for video games, just kind of just film or, you know, short series or something like that?
I never really knew what I wanted to do specifically. I just knew that I really liked writing. I initially thought, like, oh, maybe I'll be an actor. I went, oh, it turns out I'm really bad at acting, and I also don't like it. And then, yeah, I thought, yeah, maybe I'll just write as a game reviewer for all time. And just I was perfectly happy writing at Destructoid and would have done that for the rest of my life if I could pay the bills with it and stuff. And then the video game thing came along. I was like, oh, weird, this might be my dream job. Let's do this. Did it and was perfectly happy to spend the rest of my life doing that. And then this thing came along with Rocket Jump. And it's like, yeah, that would actually be really fun too. That'd be a different dream job. Let's do that instead. So I'm just kind of just being open to possibilities.
Did you guess?
I just like writing.
Was it an actual conscious decision for you to leave Gearbox, or did they? Because it seems like they came out saying that they were hiring.
You guys got fired?
Pretty much.
No, I did not get fired.
They came out. We did a story because it seems like they're hiring for like all these different positions. So I just didn't know what their situation.
No. Are. Even before I decided I was going to leave, we needed another writer. We just like it's kind of unusual to have a studio the size of Gearbox and only have two writers who are me and Aaron Lindy, who's writing Battleborn, especially given the size of those games. So we already needed another writer. Now we just need two more writers.
Very good. So Aaron was also, when we were talking about the Roland going away, there was a lot of talk and fan fiction of ways that they could have written him back.
Have you seen any good ones out there?
I fundamentally think that bringing back dead characters is a bad idea. Because Death of Superman, right? Like, if you kill somebody that matters to the player and then you bring them back, you've now taught your audience that death doesn't mean anything in this universe. So the next time you want to kill somebody, the audience won't feel anything because you've established a precedent that anytime you want to, you can pull the big magic switch and bring back that character that you thought was dead.
In Borderlands, didn't a magic switch kind of exist, though, with the... What was the name for
the new U stations?
Yeah, the new U.
Yeah, it's to me, new U stations, I wish that... I mean, I wasn't involved in Borderlands 1, and if I had been, I would have tried to separate those out. But ideally, New U Stations would have been something that wasn't connected to the lore at all, that it's just a gamism. Like, there's no narrative explanation for why you have, like, an options menu or what leveling is or what XP is. Like, nobody ever asks about, like, nobody ever comes up to your character and goes, oh, you have a lot of levels on you. Great job. Like, doesn't feel like it's part of the story. And New U Stations should have been a part of that, or they shouldn't have existed. Like, it should have been a thing where it's like, Eris dies, and you go, oh, why didn't you use a Phoenix Down on her? And then you go, oh, I don't know, because video game, whatever. And then that's it. But because and this is a mistake I made in Borderlands 2, too, was drawing a lot of attention to them by going, oh, if you're going to respawn, there should be like a cool thing that happens there. Like somebody should make fun of you for dying, like Hyperion's voice. And then there should be a quest about like voluntarily killing yourself and acknowledging that you use part of the canon. So that was my mistake to like take stuff. Like it's the right decision from a like, this will be a funny thing to do, but the wrong decision in terms of like a looking at the entire universe and the sanctity of that universe as a whole kind of decision.
It's a tough tightrope to walk, I bet.
Oh yeah, very much so. It's especially in a game like Borderlands where it's like you can do a lot of stuff that's just like wacky and funny for the fuck of it, but if you go a little bit too far, then you can compromise the point of the universe, which I know a lot of people already feel like we did when they just go like, oh, there's a fucking pony made of diamonds, I don't care about this world anymore. I liked it back when it was badass in Borderlands 1 and things were more down to earth, and it's like, okay, that's fine. Like, that's just a taste thing, sorry.
Did you play through any of the episodes of the Telltale Borderlands story?
Yeah, I mean, there's only one out yet, but yeah, I helped consult on it.
And do you feel like they're doing it justice? Are you happy with it?
Oh yeah, no, I'm furious at how good those are. Like they basically just went, oh, that thing that you do, Anthony, that only thing that you've ever done. What if we did that like way better? And it's like, okay, cool, yeah, great, super psyched.
So with they're hiring like a whole bunch of people for the next Borderlands, do you imagine it? You imagine them consulting with you again, or are they just going to be like, we're going to go a whole different direction again?
I mean, I've talked with them, and they, Randy was like, yeah, you should always be open to consulting and stuff like that. And like, I guess I would be, because I really like Borderlands and I like that universe, and it's always great to be paid to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
But I think what's really important is that they hire somebody new and that person treats Borderlands 2 the way I treated Borderlands 1, which is to say, like, yeah, this exists. There's some nice stuff in it. I kind of don't give much of a fuck about it. Like, I want to just sort of tell a story that matters to me. Like, I think that the characters that are most interesting in Borderlands 2 are, like, probably, like, Jack and maybe Tina and maybe Torg. And that's because, like, I just made those characters up. Not because I'm saying, like, those other characters sucked, but because, like, I'm not as good at writing for characters I didn't make because I'm not personally as passionate about them. Like, you have, if you feel really passionate about something, it'll be good. And it's really hard to feel passionate about something that somebody else made, that you're trying to like hit a quality bar or a stylistic point that is theirs inherently. So I think whoever does Borderlands 3 should make a bunch of shit that feels like their own, that they can get really excited about, and then make it their own game and not give even a half of a fuck about what I did or what I would do.
No. So speaking of the, you know, the characters you created and everything like that, how'd you come up with such the diverse personalities for the, for those characters that you created? Like, where did you draw those from?
Different places. So like Tina was just my sister crossed with a really kooky friend of mine named Christina, which is why she's named after her, named Tina. And I just knew that like I could get Ash to like voice this character, and I know exactly what she could sound like, and I know how to make that work, at least to my own satisfaction. I know a lot of people don't like Tiny Tina, but a lot of people don't share my sense of humor inherently, and that's fine.
I've heard lots of great things about Tina.
I saw,
but you probably are, you know, would hear more than we would. But
yeah, no, she's real divisive. If you like her, you like her a lot, and if you dislike her, you dislike her more than anyone has ever disliked the thing, because she's just very shrill. She's very loud, and if you're not on that wavelength, then it sounds like somebody's going in your ear for like 2 hours. Jack was Handsome Jack was basically like me, just really liking villains that have fun, or that are villains without being menacing, that feel like you could hang out with them, like the mayor from Buffy, or the Joker sometimes, or you know, GLaDOS and Andrew Ryan. We wanted to make a game that was very villain centric, so we took Jack. But a lot of times, a lot of the characters I write are just aspects, I didn't realize this until fairly recently, that they are aspects of myself that I do not like, that are exaggerated to silly proportions. So like the whole Krieg, did you guys ever see the Krieg the Psycho video we put out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. So like, I didn't realize it until I went somewhere and did a talk on it, and they went, I was talking and I realized that was just me in high school, was like not knowing how to talk to girls and like not knowing how to, you know, conflate the, my brain and the way I was acting and all that kind of shit. And like Mr. Torg is really loud and really wants to be a good person, but he's super lonely and doesn't know how to deal with that. And like Hammerlock doesn't know how to be friends with people, but he's really pretentious. So it's like, I weirdly found out way late in the game that most of the characters that I made are either like a, you know, somebody I know, or they're stuff that's kind of shitty about me.
Question of the hour: is Hammerlock black or not?
Hammerlock is super, super black. It's so weird that there's something about the art style of Borderlands or the lighting style or something, but nobody ever seems to realize when we make characters that are black that they're black. People didn't know that Fiona was black in Tales, or that Sasha, her sister, is, or that Hammerlock is. I don't know what it is.
I definitely didn't know Fiona was.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I knew Hammerlock, but yeah.
Wow, Aaron is our resident black expert.
Wait. Fiona, the main character, right, in Tales of Borderlands? I thought that was a white girl and her adopted black sister.
Oh, wow.
That's what I, or vice versa, I guess.
He's like, oh, wow, you are stupid.
Yeah.
No, and it's not, again, it's not uncommon. I've had a lot of people say, like, wait, Fiona's black? And it just, to me, it's super obvious, because I guess because I'm used to looking at things in that art style or with that lighting style. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't super.
Definitely black.
Obvious, because I'm used to looking at black people, and I was like, wow, that's
You're just not black enough.
I'm not black enough, yeah.
One thing that we talk about a lot, and just this has been an awesome interview so far with you. You really don't hold back, and that's awesome. And a lot of people do. And we were talking a week or two ago.
My last day at Gearbox is tomorrow, so who cares?
Yeah. Give us all the secrets.
You get all the hot scoops. Like how Borderlands 3 is actually crossover with Half-Life 3. Yeah.
No fucking way. No, we talk about PewDiePie and how he disabled all the comments on his YouTube videos because, like, people like you.
He's smart.
Yeah, exactly. Can you go into a little bit? Because Aaron thinks that's the stupidest thing, and I want to hear your take on that.
So one way to look at disabling comments is, like, you're trying to shut down free speech, or you're trying to shut down people that have, you know, opinions that are different from yours, which would hypothetically be true if comments were a place where discussion happened. But functionally what happens is comments are a place where people say really horribly negative things, and people that just wanted to watch the video have their lives made a little bit worse by it. That's why Anita Sarkeesian disabled comments on her videos. Not because she doesn't want them to start conversations, because she does. She super does. That's the whole point of those videos. But because it's really, really easy for negativity to become the dominant aspect of those comments. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to make a community for yourself like PewDiePie is, that's about like inclusivity and feeling like comfortable and like come to my videos and we'll just hang out and it'll be this fun time, then the last thing you want to see is like somebody, you know, saying homophobic or, you know, mean shit like 2 inches below the video that you were trying to watch and trying to enjoy yourself. It's like inviting internet trolls into your everyday life. Like, why not just try to keep them away? Like, and if you want to discuss those things, then there's all kinds of different venues you can take. You can go to Twitter, you can go to forums, you can email them directly. Like, that discussion can still happen. It's not like he's going around stamping out anybody mentioning anything about his videos. It's just like, no, my videos that I make on my home channel, I would like to not have the overwhelming majority of the discussion on my page be headed by trolls. So I think it's completely reasonable.
So when they're putting stuff on there, because I mean, it just seems like comments are basically critiques, poor ones, but of the videos that they're watching and stuff like that. And if he's looking for something that's like a, I don't know, a forum for people to discuss or, you know, have conversations about his videos, do you think YouTube is not the place for that, right?
I think YouTube could be if YouTube had some sort of forum system, but I think the videos themselves are supposed to sort of be for anyone, and if anybody feels seriously enough about some aspect of the video that they want to like have a comment on that, then yeah, forums are a really good place for that, where you can sort of like be more long form, where there's not that weird upvoting system where it's like the, you know, the most negative thing can be upvoted by a bunch of people. They just feel like, yeah, fuck that guy.
Well, our discussions were more pointed towards how hurtful they are to the individual that's putting up the YouTube. And my argument was...
Oh, that's obviously that too, yeah.
My argument was like, I understand that it is hurtful to people. You know, I didn't know people that get upset when they hear little things on Twitch when people, you know, talking to the chat room.
Wow, okay. I freaked out once.
But but the thing is, it's just like... I know, and I don't know, everybody's different, and that's what they've all said with me, because I can easily have hundreds of people tell me this type of stuff, and they've said it before whenever I went at PC gamers a while back, and it's just like, I'm not going to disable something, you know, you saying what you think you're going to say, and that's fine, you know, because whatever, freedom of speech,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, if it doesn't bother you, then that's really fine, but I also think it's completely reasonable for somebody who does get bothered by that stuff to not want to volunteer for that. Like, I have a TweetDeck account, like, I'm pretty vocal about social justice stuff, and unrelatedly, like I'm getting divorced, and like people that really don't like me because of my social justice stuff or because of how I wrote for Borderlands 2 or whatever will like find me on Twitter and like make fun of the fact that my wife is leaving me or whatever the hell.
Wow, hold on, we want to touch more on this, but we're gonna go to break real quick. We got to,
that's where you break.
Yep. I know, right?
Stick around to find out how it ends.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my goodness, VGB is sure up to some hijinks. This is Corey with the Video Game Bang, and I'm glad you joined us, and I hope you're enjoying the show. And this is a reminder to let you know that there is a big gaming launch coming out April 13th, 2015. That's next month, people. It's going to be a tournament, there's going to be a raffle. If you pre-order the game, you automatically get 5 raffle tickets. They're giving away an Xbox, they're giving away a PlayStation. There's going to be a tournament, so there's going to be 98 Rock, the local radio station is going to be there. It's going to be a good old time, so grab the kids and go buy yourself a Mortal Kombat from the Gamers Funk Lab in Natomas area in Sacramento. Back to the show. All right, we're back, everybody. Sorry, that was probably the quickest break we've ever had. Now I have 2 birches that probably hate me.
Yes, for sure.
Because I know after
thanks
our first...
Thanks for burning my contacts.
We basically ruined our contact with Ashley through a segment I thought was going to be fun called Bitch, You Guessed It. And apparently it wasn't
everything
I thought it was going
to
be.
Did we finish the thing I was saying earlier, or you just want to blow right past that?
No, I'd love for you to continue. I'm sorry. Let's go.
Okay, I was just going to say, like, that thing, that kind of thing is really, really common. Like, people finding you and just trying to be, like, directly mean to you about stuff. And so... somebody like PewDiePie, who has millions and millions and millions of followers, or Anita Sarkeesian or any of those people, should totally have the right to say, no, let's not have that. Like, it's somebody going out of their way to actually attack you and ruin your day, and that's, like, 3 steps away from just, like, punching someone in the shoulder if you walked past them for no reason. Like, that's anything anybody needs to do to stop that kind of stuff from fucking up their day, they should totally do.
So how do you stop the stuff for, like, because these are trolls, so they're going to go to your Twitter, they're going to go to your Facebook, they're going to go to your mom's house if they have to. And they're going to try to find a way to mess with you. So if he decided to just shut down all social networks and then just throw out videos and stuff like that, how does he still keep in contact and stuff with the positive ones, if anything?
Well, you don't have to. I don't think you have to go the nuclear option. Like, the way I get around the stuff that happens to me is I use TweetDeck, and then you can filter out certain phrases or certain things that come up a lot.
That's a thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really helpful. Yeah, you can do that. And there's also whitelists and blacklists and all that kind of stuff. There are things you can do to try to weed out trolls. I think fundamentally what actually needs to happen is that social media, and Twitter's CEO admitted as much publicly a week ago, that those platforms need to be better at dealing with harassment and allowing people to use their social media without harassment. Like, it's weird that it's gone so long with us being super cool with trolls sort of being able to dominate conversations. And that's, I think, where that needs to get fixed.
Yeah, but I agree. I don't know if you guys saw the note, just kind of off topic, but the girl who tweeted about starting a new job, and she's like, I'm starting this fuck ass job tomorrow. And the boss who hired her tweeted her back, no, you don't. You're fired. Have a great day.
Wow.
So, I just think that type of stuff, they just need to be put in their place. I agree.
You brought up Anita Sarkeesian a few times, which is, of course, tied heavily to the hashtag Gamergate stuff going on. And actually, I do recall reading an article about some things you said in the past about it. But are you surprised that this thing is still going on as heated as it is?
The Gamergate thing?
Yeah, because it seems like we were reporting on this, months and months ago, and yet every day I go online and hit my Twitter feed, it's everything's Gamergate still.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that it's still going, but it's still going in, massive, I think, scare quotes, because, nothing has actually been accomplished. It's only still going in as much as misogynists are still harassing Zoe. Like, every day she still has, shitty stuff happening to her, and, a guy went to Brianna's house to, he was armed, and he drove to Brianna's house, I think in his word, Jesus, to race her or something. He wanted to race her, which is kind of hilarious, but also not, because he was armed. And then he crashed his car and then blamed her for having a conspiracy to cut his brake lines or something.
I saw that massively, YouTube channel.
Like, people that need help or people that are really, really angry, choosing women in video games arbitrarily as their outlet for that. And unfortunately, I think misogyny is borderline ubiquitous in Western culture. So I guess in one sense, it's not surprising that misogynists are still haters are going to hate women specifically. But yeah, I think once Anita went on the Colbert Report, it's like, okay, it's functionally over now. And no, Gamergate is not getting anything. Nobody is going to ever take this seriously, because Anita went on the goddamn Colbert Report. And if it's reached that level of social saturation, then we're all as a country laughing at you.
Mm. What do you think is there an answer? Is there no way to end this or to change it? Or things that you do for writing and for Borderlands and whatever projects you do in the future, do you consider how you portray the women and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's the only – that's the only way there are a lot of practical ways that involve, voting and giving money to, marginalized people via, giving them jobs or changing the laws and stuff like that. But at least within my sphere of influence – the only way I know how to try to help is to tell stories about more diverse characters and make it so that, if you're a young, bisexual dude or a young black person, you can go oh, Hammerlock's really fucking awesome. That dude's cool. Or you can say, I'm bisexual and accent's really great. And now I have a character I can actually identify with. And the more diverse, and then you want to play more games, and then slowly over time the demographic of gaming or nerd culture in general becomes so diverse that it becomes impossible to play the no sorry this is just for white men that don't like women card, because that's stereotypically been the assumption of what gamers are, is just they're just white dudes. So they can then say, get out of our thing, this has been ours, we were bullied for it as kids, and I don't want you coming in just because it's cool and ruining it with your stupid shit. The only way to combat that on a long-term scale, at least, or the best way to combat that, is making it so that's not even a logical argument to make. And we're already getting there, because more than half, this is an actual stat from the ESA, which is that there are more female gamers over the age of 30 than there are male gamers under the age of 25 or something.
Interesting.
Because of mobile games, and because of how games are just expanding the reach and stuff like that. So if we get to a point where it feels like everyone is enjoying games Borderlands or Call of Duty, and it's not just supposedly the purview of quote unquote hardcore gamers, which generally means, I don't know, white males, I guess, or these gamer gay guys, then we're kind of good. Then it's like that thing where somebody says something homophobic on Fox News, and it's actually really, really good that everybody gets super up in arms about it and goes, look at this fucking homophobic thing this guy said, because now we get to point and laugh at that dude as a relic from a bygone age where it's a thing, it's now worthy of comment that somebody said something homophobic.
Yeah.
I wanted to get to that point in regards to like misogyny and all that kind of stuff, where we just go, wow, this guy said that like chicks with big boob armor like are awesome, and that Lara Croft is stupid when she actually had emotions. Look at how fucking stupid this guy is. Everybody point and laugh, and then we all do it. Like,
that is good. Well, we got some video game news to cover. You want to stick around with us and talk about some news?
Sure.
We got H1Z1 EverQuest developer suffers layoffs 1 week after leaving Sony Online Entertainment. So this was something we talked about a week ago. And actually, one of the people who got let go was Aaron's favorite dude from EverQuest.
Yeah, Jordson, or I don't even know how to pronounce his name. That's terrible.
But he's your favorite dude.
Yeah, well, because I got starstruck when I saw him at E3 last year. Like, literally, when he was talking about his game. Just because he was so enthusiastic about his game. Like, he was, like, I felt like he made this game out of sticks at home. And then he just showed me and was like, this is, I'm so proud of this. And then when he goes on Twitter and he's like, yeah, it's true, everybody. And then he just rattles off all the names of the games that are kind of just like not under him or anyway. And I was like, oh, that sucks, dude. Because I'm not sure if the vision is going to be the same thing. Like, are they going to go in the same direction that he was thinking, taking the game? Or are they just going to be like, well, scrap everything we've got so far. We're going to do something new. Like, EverQuest Next is one of the most anticipated games in my future. So what am I looking forward to now? That's what I'm saying. Like, what EverQuest Next am I looking forward to?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked to see that of all people he was, because I, you know, you forced me to watch those same videos.
He's like the face, right?
Yeah, and the dude, like, he really had me believing that this is going to be one of the best games ever. Did you have any opinions about EverQuest Next or this whole situation over at Sony Online Entertainment?
Are you talking to me?
Oh, yeah, you.
I mean,
oh, sorry. yeah, I'm really looking forward to EverQuest Next. I mean, I'm sad. I'm kind of the same boat as you guys. I'm sad. I think that's a cool idea, and I hope that it sort of lives up to what the promise was. I don't know how you're going to do that if you fire a bunch of people, but unfortunately that's the nature of modern game development, is that it's really, really, really expensive to make games.
And I'm wondering, too, because they've done all the like Landmark, and everybody's been able to play and everything like that for some time. I wonder if they had just like built this game and then put it out, early access type of thing. Would we better get a better idea of kind of like a solid, like, oh yeah, we know where this is going. And then the next developers that do come in, because they probably cut some people, they can be like, okay, we can pick this up. You know, had like some type of blueprints or something. Or if that stuff is even still around.
Yeah, I don't...
I'm not sure how game development works, so it's like, what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. It's too many, I don't know, questions. Variables? In there. Yeah, I don't trust it.
So, given the news, are you less excited about EverQuest Next?
Been tempered a little, I guess.
Oh, sad day. Sad day. The next one, Spider-Man joins the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Sony Pictures Entertainment and Marvel Studios have announced that they are working together to bring Spider-Man to the MCU. Under the new deal, Spider-Man will appear in a Marvel Cinematic Universe film before July 28th, 2017.
And the world cheered, apparently.
Yeah.
Everybody was more excited than I was, actually.
Really?
Well, I'm not the biggest Spider-Man fan, though. That's why.
I am. It's love Spider-Man.
Yeah. I was hyped when the Black Panther was finally announced, and I was like, yeah, all right, we finally get the Black Panther. And then everybody's like all gaga over Spider-Man. I'm like, all right.
See, is this going to affect the role of the Black Panther in
Captain America?
Oh, yeah, because they were saying he might be like that type of Spider-Man person.
Switch him out?
I don't know.
The speculation was that Black Panther was supposed to be
that
the role of Spider-Man in the comics.
Side switcher or whatever. Well, here's the thing. A couple of things need to happen. One, Tobey Maguire needs to come back.
No. Jesus Christ. As Uncle Ben, maybe.
Wow. No, how old is Tobey now? He's like 35, 38?
He's old enough.
Nah, I don't know who they're going to pick. I would like them to go with kind of a younger Spider-Man, like a teenager. You know what I'm saying?
One of the actors I saw, somebody was suggesting, Dave Franco.
No.
You don't like Dave Franco?
I didn't like him in The Scrubs. I didn't like him in what was the zombie movie? Warm
One body.
Yeah, they didn't like him either. They killed him in like
the
first
time. That was probably the best part of the movie.
I just think he's got the talent for like the comedic delivery that Spider-Man does. I think he could nail that. I don't know about the rest.
But what about the Peter Parker?
That's the thing I don't know about the Peter Parker.
See,
part,
I saw Logan Lerman or Learman.
He's one of the ones.
And Dylan O'Brien.
I don't know who those actors are.
Logan's from
Maze Runner.
Dylan.
The Dylan's
that's
Maze
Dylan
Runner.
O'Brien.
That's a thing.
And Lerman's from Percy Jackson movies.
I saw Fury.
He was in that as well.
Because there's what's the cartoon that's out right now, the Ultimate Spider-Man, or Unlimited Spider-Man, or something like that. And they portray Peter Parker in high school, you know, going through high school stuff and, you know, superhero stuff, working under S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that. I would like to see that. Not that whole setup, you know, but that age of a Peter Parker coming into an Avengers cast where he's clearly out of his league, but, you know, he's expected to do these things that these, you know, giant superheroes are already doing. Because, you know, he's Spider-Man, and for a couple of months or a year or so, he's been doing some amazing things already. Like, I don't need to see a backstory as he comes into the Marvel Ultimate. Just throw him right in. Yeah, like, he's the new recruit. Like, he's the new rookie or something like that. That's what I'd like to see him as.
We've already seen Uncle Ben die, like, twice. Like, yeah. It's fine. We got that. We know what happened. We're good.
Can kill him so many times.
Mention it one time. Yeah, my Uncle Ben got shot. Now I'm here. What do we do, you know, Tony? And then he just like, here's your Iron Spider suit. Like, thanks, Robert. And then he just jumps away.
Swings away.
What are the odds of them going the Miles Morales route?
You mean actually like putting like a half black, half Puerto Rican guy in a Spider-Man costume?
Yeah,
no, that's not happening.
Zero?
I would love it if they were ballsy enough to do it, but...
Well, I mean, I guess Miles Morales
is America ready for a black Spider-Man?
And then, like, Miles Morales, he's that age. He's that teenage, you know, so it would be, in my opinion, it would, you know, fit, but...
And then fucking you get Don Glover, and it's, like, a really good movie.
Bam!
And that's why they won't do it.
Yeah, so it's...
Hashtag Donald for Spider-Man?
I mean, he still can do it. He still looks young enough.
Have you gotten to meet Donald Glover?
No.
Yeah, he's elusive.
You got to meet him?
No, I don't want to.
We missed him at E3. I saw him. He walked by at E3. I missed him like a...
They were doing a Troy and Abed thing, weren't they?
Yeah, we just missed it. E3 last year. Yeah,
we missed the Reading Rainbow guy, too. Should have tripped him, because he was running fast through the crowd. Like, he was really jetting.
Anthony, do you have a pick for who you'd like to see play Spider-Man? Is it Donald Glover? Is that your choice?
It's Donald Glover, yeah. Or, I mean, I guess not Donald Glover. Yeah, definitely Donald Glover. I was trying to think it through and see if there were any other actors I really, really liked, but most of them are far too old. Like, you can't have Tom Hardy play Spider-Man. It doesn't make any sense.
Aaron, you're the same age as Donald Glover.
Yes, me and Donald Glover.
You guys are both 31 years old.
And we both look young.
So Aaron, then. I vote for Aaron.
There you go. Hey. You heard it first, everybody, internet. Aaron Carter for Spider-Man.
Don't do that to my Spider-Man.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
I could play a 16-year-old.
He'd go to a crime scene. Why would I question
everything. Yes, definitely.
Hashtag not my Spider-Man.
Yes, for sure.
That's terrible. Okay, we got some quick news stories before we can jump back into a couple more questions we want to ask Anthony Birch. Goddess deity contest winner has yet to receive his promised power and riches. So this is tied to the Peter Molyneux being more of an idiot.
He's just...
Peter Molyneux
He's a he's a big dreamer. He just likes to dream big.
Under-delivering.
Who hasn't dreamed big? Anthony, if you have never dreamed big in your life, he wouldn't have been anywhere in his, you know, writing, you know, moving
to LA. So now you're comparing our guest to Peter Molyneux?
Yeah, a little bit.
How do you feel about that, Anthony?
There are worse things to be compared to, yeah.
And just because he doesn't, you know, deliver on all his promises doesn't mean that he's a terrible person. It just means he's busy sometimes.
Well, the internet is... I kind of agree with you to a point, but when you do the Kickstarter and you got like people giving you $75,000 to make a game and you're already well off, that's pretty messed up.
Truth be told, I have no idea what this game is.
It's a mobile game.
Oh, well, why are we even talking about a Peter... He's been demoted down to mobile games now?
Is that a downgrade?
I think so. From somebody that made Fable that was supposed to be this, you know, epic, you know, adventure and tale, and he keeps...
plant a seed and watch the tree grow.
So now it's like, hey, go make Tetris on somebody's phone real quick.
Wow. He was looking for that sweet, sweet Angry Birds-esque money on mobile, which is totally doable if you could just do it right. The ceiling on something like that is actually really, really high compared to the amount of time it would take you to make something like a Fable. Like, Fable has consistently not been a blockbuster for Microsoft, as much as I fucking love the Fable series. Mm. So I can understand it.
So it's like, in my opinion, it's like if you were to say, hey, Kanye West, go make MIDI beats on on the computer real quick. That's what, to me, he's been relegated to.
Okay. Wow. Strong opinions there from Aaron Carter.
You're welcome, Peter.
Bethesda is having an E3 press conference for the first time ever.
And I'm a little hyped about that one because I'm going to just set the bar extremely high for you, Bethesda. Fallout needs to be announced. The close and final close of Elder Scrolls Online needs to happen. Just throw it out.
You just done with it?
Just throw it out. Okay. There's no reason for it to even be around. And more Fallout. Yeah, that's it. Just literally more Fallout.
Cooperative.
Do you want like a mobile Fallout?
No, a mobile app maybe that works with the actual
as your Pip-Boy. Game.
Your Pip-Boy. Yeah,
that would be pretty cool.
My Rads is up.
Exactly.
We play Temp-Run.
Maybe real Pip-Boys. Something to go on my wrist.
That's terrible.
Something. I don't know.
What if it's New Vegas 2?
I don't need a sequel to. No.
You want another city? Mod.
Like, it won't Vegas be them because Obsidian is not working on that stuff. Obsidian's doing other stuff.
Okay,
good. It's a shame because that's my favorite RPG ever made ever.
New Vegas. Or
New
three?
Vegas.
Really? Over 3?
Oh yeah. Oh, 3 is a good like Skyrim-y type game where you run around and shoot things and get more powerful. New Vegas is a great RPG to me because you can get through that game without firing a single shot. You can talk your way through everything. You can hack your way through stuff. Like it's okay. Allows for it, as buggy as fuck as it is. It allows for a greater amount of expression on the player's part. And I also love how small scale the plot is, where like Fallout 3 is like, find your father and like get the enormous communist killing robot to attack the super mutant stronghold. Like New Vegas is like, there's a dam. That's kind of important, I guess. Like, go get the you do something with the dam, and like it's something about it being really small stakes makes me love it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually still playing through that right now.
You never even beat it yet?
No, I've beat it multiple times because I beat it the first time just doing whatever I want. That's how I did it, and then I played it the way he just said, where I didn't fire a single shot, and I put everything into kind of like speech and then hacking. And I remember talking to the final boss, and it was just kind of like, yeah, I agree with you. I'll see you later. And then he just goes off, and I'm like, really? Oh, okay. It was that easy.
That's awesome.
Have you tried the hardcore mode?
Yeah, where you have to keep drinking
every so often. Yeah.
I don't play in any other way. I have to play that way, yeah. As soon as they announced that before the game came out, I was like, yeah, there's definitely no other way to play this game.
See, I'd have a hard time in the hardcore mode because I'm a pack rat when it comes to Fallout. I fill up my bag as soon as I can and then fast travel back and then drop it all off.
You gotta have,
Now you're just making more trips.
Yeah, no, yeah, pretty much. And
there's nothing wrong with
that. That's why I've never finished Fallout 3. Never done it.
That's terrible.
I'm probably, I've got 80 hours into it. Still haven't found my dad or whatever that plot, whatever the hell that story.
Well, he's dead now. He's definitely just dead now.
Well, he's Liam Neeson, so he'll literally never die.
He gets taken. He'll come and find you.
He's unkillable.
That's fine for me.
Let's see. The next one is Awesome Games Done Quick brings in 9.4 million viewers.
Have you seen that Twitch channel? They just play games very fast.
No.
I watched a little bit of it.
You guys don't watch it? It's so good. It's the coolest thing.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Oh, I thought you guys were joking that you hadn't seen
well,
it.
Well, you were sounding like Sarcastro over there, the superhero, when you said that.
No. It's the best, coolest fucking thing. It's like watching people play a sport, except the sport is something that you care about, and also they're like weirdly breaking the sport in ways that don't make any sense. Like watching people play Borderlands 2 speedrun was one of the most fun things ever. Watching people Dishonored speedrun where they like go under the map because they understand how the physics system works and they use it against the game. Like they're actually reading, like doing a deep reading of the game and its systems that is really, really oddly respectful because they like need to know everything about the way the game works to make sure that shit can function and give them the quickest possible time. And that entire when that marathon goes on, if you have a second monitor, just put that on your second monitor while you do other shit, because you'll just see the most bananas, amazing, fun things going on. Like in Commander Keen, there's like a skip you can do where you shoot down on a bullet and then you immediately shoot up and the game forgets that it's a bullet that's supposed to do damage, and it thinks it's a platform, so you can jump on your own bullet and ride it all the way to the top of the level like a jetpack, and then jump off your bullet and end the game. Like, it's just really neat stuff.
I think I saw, I did watch on YouTube someone break Super Mario World.
And that's a really, really weird one. Are you talking about the one where the guy, like, goes to basically the credit screen by doing a bunch of weird shit?
Yeah, is that kind of like what you're talking about?
Not really. Okay. The most of the speed runs are like, actually do the level, but just do the level the quickest way you can. That guy did a thing where he like skipped the entire game.
Yeah.
But there's like just really, really interesting sort of skips that you can do that are about being quick and memorizing the way that the game works. I highly recommend looking up like a Super Mario 64 speed run or something, or like what's a really good one? Super Metroid speed runs are great.
Are you really big into the Twitch stuff going on? Or do you Twitch yourself?
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah.
And is that like pretty much the heartbeat of the game community right now, in your opinion?
I think it's certainly growing into something really, really big. It's already really big. I think it's only going to get bigger, ideally. It would be great to see a sort of future where, like, because I remember as a kid, I always really wanted there to be a channel that was just about video games, and I never got it. And it feels like Twitch could be that thing where you're just being able to sort of, what game am I interested in watching somebody play at a really high level where I can get some tips, or I can just watch them do something really interesting and crazy, like literally watch somebody play through Ocarina of Time with a blindfold on and do it well and fucking complete the game while speedrunning. Like, that's a thing that happened this last Awesome Games Done Quick.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw the post about that. I didn't watch the stream for it, but yeah, that's just intense.
I did watch someone beat Mike Tyson's Punch-Out blindfold, and it was just so freaking interesting to watch. That's true.
Yeah, if you find that kind of stuff interesting, you should definitely check out some of the speedrunning stuff, because it's gratifying in that same kind of way of just watching somebody play a game at the peak of their talent.
We've been doing this show for about 2 years, and it was all podcast audio. And then recently we started delving into the world of Twitch. So we do a live show on the weekends. And what we noticed, though, is it's a huge asset to have giant breasts when streaming. Do you think that kind of feeds into any of what we were talking about earlier with the Gamergate or the kind of like the sexualization?
Yeah, probably, because it's really easy. And I used to do that. I can say it's really easy because I used to do this for a long, long time, where I assumed that if a girl was pretty or she took care of herself and really, like, you know, used makeup or like showed cleavage or whatever, that she was pandering or faking being interested in games. And that, I think the more that I sort of talk to women that play games, the more I realize it's not really true. Some of them are pandering. Sure, they wanted to get popular, and that's a thing. Like, okay, whatever. There are guys that do that too. Not to the degree of sexualization, but I'll make like weird rape jokes all the time and like make sure to get that group of people, or they'll just do shit to just get attention like they don't really believe in. Like, that's a thing that people do. But fundamentally, like, okay, cool, she's really hot and she plays video games, that's a fine thing to do with your life. Like, you could just not scream at that person and want them to die. And I say that again as somebody that did this a lot. Like, I hated the idea of like more like Jessica Chobot or Morgan Webb, because Jessica Chobot licked a PSP. Oh, like, that means she's a faker. But like, I've met Jessica Chobot and she's really, really super interested in games legitimately and really likes them. And people have been holding that PSP thing against her for her entire life, and she's still in video games. Like, she still likes doing this. She's not, I mean, like, yeah, Olivia Munn, like, left, you know, to be in movies and shit like that. She doesn't give a fuck about video games anymore. Like, Jessica Chobot still does, but yet people still give her shit about that. It's weird. Like, it seems to come from a place of misogyny first and caring about games second.
Talking about that, in your experience kind of in the games industry, is there any awesome people that you like really looked up to before that you've actually gotten to meet through what you do now or collaborate with?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I met Ken Levine once, and he said Borderlands was really funny, and I died. I'm currently a ghost because he said he liked the game I wrote. I met Tim Schafer once, but he had no idea who I was and had never played Borderlands, but he's a nice guy. And then I met Sean Vanneman and Jake Rodkin, who they do the Idle Thumbs podcast, and they wrote The Walking Dead for Telltale. They were, I guess, the showrunners of The Walking Dead. And they are infuriatingly nice and even more infuriatingly handsome and really talented. Like, you get to choose. I feel like you get to choose like one of those things. Maybe if you're two, you're kind of a dick. And if you do all three, you're the worst person. Like, you don't get to do all three of those things.
Yeah,
you have to leave some of those for the rest of us.
Yeah, it's terrible. What do you find the biggest difficulty in what you're doing now? Like, is it dealing with the trolls online, or is it the workload, or going from this city to this city, or what's the most difficult when you hit your level?
The most difficult thing for me is moving from Texas to LA and just dealing with that shit. that's the hard thing, because that's where I'm in my career right now. But I know previous to that, it was dealing with people sending me tweets and stuff on my Ask FM, telling me to kill myself and stuff. That's not a pleasant way to sort of. Initially, it doesn't bother you, or you try to learn not to look at it, because like people have been saying they've wanted to like rape my sister for like since we started doing Hey Ash, what you playing? It's like, okay, I just don't read the comments anymore. That's fine. But when it starts like infecting the like stuff you use for social media to talk to people you care about, that's kind of a bummer. But I'm not as angry as they are, so I'm living a better life. Also, I'm rich and they're not, so that's cool.
Is Ashley making the move with you to the West Coast?
Ashley Birch?
Yeah.
No, she already lives on the West Coast.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, she's
yeah. Here. She lives in a cool house that's full of like all of our old high school friends. They call Turbo Mansion. It was like our dream to build that house, and they did it. So I'm moving into Turbo Mansion with her.
That awesome. Sounds like something that she would want to do, just from all the Hey Ash, what you playing, and our time we spoke with her, the time I got to meet her at my manager's conference or whatnot. That just sounds like Ashley.
Yeah, it totally is.
So moving to what you're doing with Rocket Jump, is there anything you can mention about it yet, or is it all pretty under wrapped?
I think what they've just announced is that it's a show with Rocket Jump. It's sort of in production. It's in conjunction with Lionsgate, and I imagine it will probably be funny. Or, I mean, it'll try to be funny, certainly.
Aren't you writing it?
I'm head writer on it, but I'm not the only writer.
Yeah.
But that said, like, me not writing all the show is a really good sign that it will be funny. Like, having a lot of writers on something means that there's probably a good chance that, like, at least one of these motherfuckers is going to be real funny, and it's probably not going to be me. I'm just going to be around to, like, do some head writing.
And kill a black shit, guy.
Whatever that consists of. I'll find out.
And kill a black guy, yeah.
Yeah, just don't kill any more black guys or Aaron.
That's all I do is just exist to just go right into the fiction that you like and make a black guy that you like and just get rid of him. It's the only way I can get off anymore.
That's terrible.
Can we assume that this is going to be video game related?
I wouldn't assume that, no.
Ooh, so just,
I mean, honestly, I'm not super sure what it is. We're sort of figuring stuff out. But, I mean, it is a long-form comedy series. That's all we really know right now.
Because when we spoke to Freddie Wong a while back, he seemed like he wanted to get like more in towards like action stuff. Like, he's like, where's all the action stars at? And, Jean-Claude Van Damme is like 100, so what are we doing now?
We must have got him on a day or something, because he was calling out everybody.
Freddie's got like action in his blood. Like, that dude is better at filming action scenes than almost anyone, period. And he's just a dude on YouTube, Like, that's the sort of crazy funny thing, is that, like, the more I watch Freddie's videos, and I felt this way before I ever started, working with him or whatever, the more mainstream action movies started getting less interesting. Because, like, watching his, like, Flower Warfare video the Kingsman video he just did with the Umbrella fight, it's like, that movie is going to have to work really, really hard to outdo a thing that Freddie did in an alley next to his office with his three friends, because they just fundamentally understand the way that action should feel in a way that a lot of Hollywood people just simply don't, because Freddie and, like, a lot of people I think of our generation grew up just eating and breathing, John Woo and Jackie Chan and stuff like that, and understanding what makes those tick fundamentally.
No, you say he was just a YouTube guy, and you could kind of say
quotation marks over that.
Yeah. No, exactly. But I could say you started same thing. You're writing for just YouTube, and then now you guys are partnered with Lionsgate doing a series. Is there a shift going on in Hollywood, do you think, or do you think there will always be that stigma of, you just did web videos?
I'm banking my livelihood on the fact that stigma can be erased. I'm really hoping that is not something that's going to stick forever, because, like, fundamentally, internet stuff is really, really different from TV and movies, but it's not so different that you couldn't make that a medium unto itself, that people are really interested in watching really good stuff that has a budget behind it and that people are willing to pay for. And I've really grown sick of the way that like TV is better than ever, but there's certain things about the way that TV functions that I find kind of frustrating, and that I really love the way that like Netflix has dealt with, like, House of Cards season 3 is out, all of it on the same day, watch it however you want, it's fine, we don't care. I love that. And I would love to see that be the future of being able to watch shit on my schedule that maybe is a little bit outside the norm, but still appeals to me and still gets to be whatever it wants to be. And yeah, I would hope that the internet is going to only get stronger in that regard. It certainly feels like we've got some momentum going, but who knows? You know, it could be that thing where the wave breaks and rolls back and we're all sad and we just have to watch more, you know, fucking Two Broke Girls and Big Bang Theory, but I would hope not.
I saw you tweeted, and I share this opinion that I completely hate the Big Bang Theory. What are your reasons?
It pretends to be pro-nerd, but it is without question anti-nerd in really, really pernicious, shitty ways. Like it's a show about laughing at people that are nerdy. Like a person really likes Hellboy and really wants somebody to not spoil the newest issue of Hellboy for him, and then the guy does and he gets upset and we are all supposed to laugh at him. And it's like, okay, I mean, you're just making fun of somebody for caring about a thing that's not actually a joke, that's just bullying. It's bullying that's pretending to be empowering. Like, yeah, we're on their side. No, you're not on their side. You're laughing at those nerds. You're like saying that they're stupid and not as cool as other people, and that we should laugh at them for being the way that they are.
Yeah, I read a great article. I can't remember where it was. It was a while back ago, talking about the difference between Big Bang Theory and Community, and how like Community was a show for geeks, and the other one was a show about geeks or something. I don't know. It broke it down.
That's absolutely true.
And it broke it down so well.
The D&D episode is the perfect explanation of that difference. So the Community D&D episode is like, hey, this guy might kill himself. We should play a D&D game with him to become his friend and maybe try to convince him not to kill himself. Everyone enjoys the game. There's a lot of humor in it that comes from people being weird, but it's from the people being weird. It's not from the fact that like D&D is inherently stupid and anybody likes is a nerd who should be mocked. Like that show understands that being a nerd is fucking fine, that there's no goddamn harm in it and it's cool and you can be a totally functioning person and then it's actually a really nice way to make friends. Whereas every single time, like he rolls a d20 to like make decisions. Like people don't do, that's not how fucking people act. That's a stupid thing that a person that doesn't like nerds would think somebody does.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Do you think because then they'll kind of like build the illusion to me of them having like super geek cred when they have guys like Will Wheaton or someone from Star Trek show up on, or someone else from Star Trek show up on the show. Do you think that feeds the fire, or what does that say about guys like that?
I don't really know. It's. I'm sure there's a lot of things that when you're in the moment, it can feel like, yeah, this is good, I like it, or whatever. And they may enjoy being on the show, and that's totally cool. It's up to them. It just, for me, it's that show is really, really strongly anti-geek, pretending to not be.
Could just be a check for them. It could just be, hey, we'll pay you to do this, and then you're like, all right, fine. And they may not think that deep into it.
Yeah,
if somebody wanted me to be on one of the most successful sitcoms of all time and pay me for that honor, I would probably not immediately default to my morals and go, no, you're kind of weird about nerd jokes. Like,
You heard it here. Anthony Birch is going to be joining the cast of Two Broke Girls on NBC.
Yep. I'm going to be the third broke girl.
I'd probably watch it then.
I'd start. Hey, Anthony, so I had a question for you. How has the transition been? So you went from, you know, writing your videos, hey, Ash, what you playing, to writing, you know, Borderlands 2, and then now you're going to doing that, the long-form comedy. How's the transition? Like, how are you approaching the project? How do you approach the projects differently?
With a shit ton of fear and being scared shitless and thinking that you might be a talentless hack who, like, convinced everybody that you're good and you're not.
Is that serious? Are you being serious right now?
Yeah, no, I'm being 100% serious. Like, imposter syndrome is the thing. Like, the Hey Ash videos, I'm really happy with
that. Imposter
syndrome?
I have that.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't go away, it turns out.
There's a word for it. I'm seriously, like, when you said that, like, that hit me hard because I'm like, I have those thoughts all the damn time.
Oh, you've never heard of imposter syndrome
before? No, I've never heard of it.
It's a real-ass thing, for sure. And it's something that a lot of... I don't know any creative people, honestly, that don't have it. I know a couple, maybe, and they're, like, mutants who I envy. But, like, yeah, functionally... It's really, really scary to actually get any positive reinforcement for what you do. And it's a lot easier, I think, to say, like, oh, I just got lucky. And eventually they're going to figure out that I'm talentless. And then I'm going to be ridden out of town on a rail. And that explains everything. Like, it's a lot easier to believe that you got lucky than to admit that you might have some degree of talent. Or to say that, oh, no, this time's different. This time I'm definitely going to fail. Like, I did Hey Ash. And the second I got Hey Ash, I went, oh, this is not going to work. I'm going to fail. This is not going to work. This is really, really, really bad. And then Hey Ash did pretty well. And I went, okay, cool. I got lucky, but all right, cool. Then I got the Borderlands job and I thought, okay, well, now I'm definitely going to fail. Because that was like 90-second long fart jokes. And this is like a 60-hour long game that has like maybe important dramatic things happening. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. They're going to find out I fucked up. They're going to find out that I'm a fraud, and they're going to fire me. And then they didn't, and it was fine. And then DLC started for that game. I went, no, but this time oh, I'm man. Sure that they're going to find out. And like, it just keeps going and going. So now I just have that about the rocket jump thing. Like, I'm sure that I'm going to show up in LA and move all my stuff down there, completely upend my life, and then step inside, and Freddy's going to go, what are you doing? And then punch me out.
Is
like
Darth
with a
Vader?
Fucking Shore Yuken. With the roof. Shore Yuken.
Yeah, that's crazy you say that and put like a name to it, because like I've really had those feelings for a long time. Like when people compliment me on something,
doctors put a name to it.
Well, no, Anthony, he invented this.
He wrote it.
When someone like compliments me, my first instinct isn't to go like, oh my God, thank you. My first instinct's like, you fucking liar. Like in my head, that's seriously what I think.
I get that a lot.
Wow.
Is that part of it, Anthony? Like when someone really compliments you, you just automatically think to yourself like you're a fucking lying.
So the biggest time, well, I've been an asshole many times, but one of the most asshole-ish moments I've ever had that really sticks in my mind is before Borderlands 2 had come out, I was going to I went to E3, I think for press stuff, and it had been announced and stuff like that by then, and I was really, really feeling bad about where the script was at, or I was feeling really nervous, and I thought that the game was just going to be like the game was going to be good, but the story was going to suck. I was really, really, really scared. And this guy came up to me. This kid came up. Oh, he's one of the kids. He was fucking my age. this dude came up to me and went, "Hey, man. I just got to say, I'm a big fan. I really like what you did with Hash, what you're playing, and I'm just really looking forward to what you do with Borderlands." And I went, "Well, you don't know if it's going to be good." He went, "What?" And I went, "Like, the game could suck. The game could be full of racist shit, and you wouldn't even know. And then you just said that you liked my thing, and then it's racist. How you feel? I mean, you don't even know. It could be fucking awful." And he went, "Okay." And then sort of walked away. And then about a day later, I went, "Oh, what I was the biggest dick. Asshole in the world to a guy who's paying me a wonderful compliment, and he was so sweet."
Yeah, that was definitely a dickish move.
I'm aware of that, Aaron. Thank you. That's why I told the story.
I mean, I just wanted to make sure you knew. I just wanted to make sure you knew.
I wonder if he bought the game.
I may be one of those mutants then, because every time I write something, like anything, I instantly like, oh, this is good. You know, because when I was younger and I started writing, like
you got a lot of compliments as a kid, didn't you?
No.
Your
My
parents
teacher,
put your pictures on the refrigerator.
I wrote a story, like this robot story, when I was in high school, and I gave it to my teacher. Like, hey, could you, you know, read this and you know, tell me what you think? She gave it back to me like 2 days later with all these red marks on it. Like she just, you know, edited and critiqued the crap out of it, and all these notes. And then at the end, she put, "No story is original, Aaron." And I was like, okay. What the hell does that mean? I graduated without finding out, you know, from her what she meant by that. And so I kind of just kept it as like, well, no matter what I'm going to tell, it's been told before. So I just have to put my own thing to it. If they like it, they like it. But I'm going to go and I'm going to give it in. So like anytime that I write any stories, any movie scripts, any, you know, 2 minute anything, I'm just going in it like, okay, this is what I want to tell. This is how I'm going to tell it. You know, boom, there it is. You know, and people are going to give me bad, good, you know, critique. Whenever I was in film school and I would, you know, show our films, me and Steven's films in front of the stuff, if they said bad stuff, they said bad stuff. If they said good stuff, thank you.
You're damn right. They said good stuff.
And so, like, that's just how I see everything. I've never been like,
I don't see how you can.
You're an X-Man to me.
I don't see how you have that much confidence.
And I loved.
And Anthony, I've read his stuff. It's not that great.
I absolutely loved film day. Like, whenever we had to present in class, Stephen, loved it. Couldn't wait for them to see it. And there was always one guy in the front of the room of the class. Remember the guy who would always, like, so what, anybody got any, you know, critiques on this when the teacher would say that? Like, well, I thought the shadows in this part were terrible. And
the continuity of the scene.
I don't think everything. And I'd look him dead in the eye and be like, thanks, dude. And that's it. And it's like, okay. And then somebody else would be like, I actually like that. And I'm like, cool, thanks. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just when it look at me type of thing. But that's probably what keeps any fear away. It's like, hey, look what I can do.
Yeah. It was early on in our show when we called out the PC gamers, and a group of PC gamers got a hold of it and they started flipping out. They lost their shit because we said some stuff about, you know, console gaming and PC gaming. And
this is before Aaron discovered the joy of PC gaming.
No. Let's get it correct. I had the joy of PC gaming. I was more of a console gamer at the time now. And then when I woke up and after the show and I had said those things about PC gamers, which I do not take back.
So yeah, we listened to it a little earlier in this show, actually. If you guys missed it, you can hit rewind.
I woke up and my Twitter had like 50 plus notifications on there saying all sorts of hateful things. So I took my time, cracked my knuckles, and replied to every single one of them with a smile on my face. And we got more listeners from it. So
yeah, it was one of those things where when it happened, I was freaking out. I was like, we're done. The show's over, Aaron. We ruined. We blew it. We'll never work in this town again. And then he muscled through it.
It didn't get to the point where, you know, people wanted to rape my sister and stuff like that. Now, that's extreme. But it was just, it's their opinions, you know, versus my opinions. So either one of, you know, none of us are like right. None of us are like fact. Like, this is, yeah, I'm saying the sky is green and everybody looks up and the sky is blue. But, you know, this was just, you know, it was just a discussion. So I didn't see it as anything like, oh, Aaron, I'm going to find where you live and kill you.
If that stuff starts happening, that's a whole nother level.
Then they got to come through the hood, first of all, because I live in a dangerous area already. That's true. Death threats around me already. So it's not true. Like they're saying anything can't that's new to me. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, I'm not saying go do it, guys, because I don't wish that upon anybody. Like, that's terrible. No, stop it.
That's the worst.
But, you know, from what the PC gamers were saying, they're passionate about their PCs, and they damn well should be. Like, you know, that's what they like to do. You know, I'm a PC gamer, like, now. Like, I have no console because the two ones that I feel the two ones that are out right now, like, aren't up to the par of, you know, what I want to do or when I want to get out of my PC. So I'm like, whatever, you know. I let a lot of things slide. It could be the black struggle that's in me. I don't know.
Aaron, happy birthday, sir.
Thank you. I'm 177 years old in Negro years. congratulate me as much as you can. High blood pressure and cholesterol and all that stuff might get me.
Anthony, we want to thank you so much for showing up on the show.
And thank you, Anthony.
This is amazing. When each of us individually talked behind Aaron's back, we're like, who's the only... Because Aaron does not, like he doesn't get excited. He doesn't get excited for guests. He doesn't get starstruck. We're thinking, who's the one person who can appease him? And all of us automatically said you because you've been a talking point on our show for a very long time. So it was awesome to have you.
Very flattering. Thank you.
And from one guy with, what's it called?
Imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome to another guy. As legitimately as I could say it, you are a talented guy. And I think you're going to do great in what you do because, hey, Ash, what you're playing is hilarious.
You don't know that.
take the last second to plug yourself on social media or any projects you want people to know about, Anthony.
I run a blog called No Wrong Way to Play. It's nowrongwaytoplay.tumblr.com. It's full of like weird stuff like we were talking about with the people playing Blindfold and stuff. If you're into alternative ways people play games, you can go there. And I'm on Twitter at Reverend Anthony.
Cool. And then keep your eye out on the Hulu machine for that awesome Rocket Jump production. It's Freddie Wong. It's not going to... There's no way it can fail. The dude's like a phenomenon in the industry right now. It's ridiculous. So everybody, thank you so much for sticking it out with us this week on the show. Very big happy birthday to Aaron Carter. We're going to go eat some cake and have some fun and see you this weekend on Video Game Bang Live.
Let me bang,
I
man.
Do let you bang. Hey.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
I
let you bang.
Let me bang.
Let me bang.
Let me bang.
Let you bang. Now go fuck yourselves.